Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Dunamos Life. I'm Dr. Pauline Dillard, Executive Director and CEO of Dunamos Center Ministries in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Hi, I'm Catherine Pearson. I'm the Discerning Childbirth Educator and Wellness Coach here at Dunamos Center Ministries.
And Catherine, our mission here at Dunamos Center Ministries is to bring praise, honor, and glory to God by building Christ-centered, heart-connected marriages, births, and families who have deeper relationship with God and each other.
That's right.
And so we try to pick topics that can help us have a Dunamos life.
Yeah.
And our topics are usually within our three pillars, which our three pillars are having strong marriages,
mm-hmm.
having healthy childbirth.
Right. And biblical wellness.
So to me, we're going to talk about epidural anesthesia today during childbirth. And to me, this really fits a Dunamos life. In all three pillars, you know, believe it or not. I mean, first of all, we all want healthy children.
Yeah.
And we don't often think about the impact of administering a medication during a labor could have on our baby or ourselves. And a lot of times people say, oh, I didn't have any of those bad side effects. But I'm dealing with the moms every day who have had some of these bad side effects, and you are too. And so we know at Dunamos Center Ministries just how some of these actually play out in real life. When they're playing out in real life, we see impacts in all three areas, don't we?
Right, absolutely. There's impact to how the couples relate to each other, how their marriage works. Obviously, the health of the child is impacted, even though we may not think that when we're having a drug administered. And then there's wellness. You know, biblical wellness. How's our health and our physical body getting through that that drug inserted into our body?
And it also impacts how a mother's, you know, how connected she feels. And we talk a lot here at the Dunamos Center about having connected marriages, connected parenting. You and Jeff talked about that last week, how to have connected families. And what we see with an epidural is a disconnect that occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a disconnect with the relationships, but as you just mentioned with the biblical wellness side too, there's almost like a disconnect from our own body.
Right. Yeah, like you said, the mind is put into an altered state of what it's perceiving is happening with the physical body.
Yeah, and so the body then reacts to that and changes its biochemistry, and then we see a whole cascade of health issues that follow that.
Yes.
So I just kind of wanted to start out by talking about that because a Dunamos life is living a life for Christ, and it impacts our ability to even fulfill our faith walk. I talked to a lot of people who when they did have anesthesia during the labor and there maybe was a cascade, what we call a cascade of interventions, or they ended up with a cesarean, or the birth itself ended up being very difficult even with that, I hear a disconnect from relationship to God.
Really?
Yeah.
Sort of language do you...
Well, moms are using languages like, I trusted God and he let this happen to me. I don't understand what happened. Why was labor so hard? I couldn't do it. God's not really there for me. God doesn't really care for me or my baby. So a Dunamos life, we want to have that faith, that trust, that walk. We want to be able to show how he was active in our lives, and that we then are reactive and active for him. But if we have doubts about him because we didn't trust the body he gave us, or other people pressured us and we gave in, or we didn't feel his presence in the labor, then we've got now a whole disconnect that's come about because of that.
So true.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of talk about side effects of epidurals, which is partly what we're going to go into as the show progresses. But right up front, I think we miss a lot of times the spiritual side effects of an epidural.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this topic, you know, about putting drugs into our bodies, kind of looking up some scriptures and what might apply. And I found 1 Peter 4:7. It says, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so you can pray.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, if we're putting drugs into our bodies, how are we being clear-minded? Not to mention, you know, there's a whole family aspect. You know, if the dad is there, if there's I don't know, grandparents that are there, right. Are they all being clear-minded and saying this is really the best thing for us?
That's
for
a really
mom?
Good point. And so if they're just praying for her to not, for her to do something about the pain so they don't have to feel uncomfortable, then they're not really praying for God's best, are
mm-hmm,
they?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk for a minute about those drugs, because, you know, they're going to impact your clear-mindedness, as the scripture says. And so a lot of people don't really understand what the drugs are actually in the epidural that's going into their body. And I think some people may be really surprised as we progress through this what they're actually accepting.
Absolutely. 100%. You never know. I mean, you just hear the word epidural.
Right.
And you think, well, if they're offering it to me, then it must be safe and it must
right.
be the right thing. But you're
well,
not,
my doctor said.
Yeah, exactly.
He would just want good things for me.
But you're not really thinking about
what's
what
in it.
Is in that and what's going into your
right.
body.
Well, as most people know, and you guys know, I've been around birthing since the early 1980s.
Mm-hmm.
And even back then, when a mom had an epidural, which was not real common for normal labor, I mean, or a vaginal birth, I mean, we saw it, but it wasn't as common as it is today. I mean, there was a lot of epidurals going around, but usually they were doing intravenous medications to calm the mom down. Something went in the IV, it just kind of calmed her down. It didn't take the pain of the labor away, and my sister told me that it didn't even take away what was happening, but now she could no longer communicate to people what she was going through.
Mm.
And when she had her baby, it was Demerol.
Okay.
So then 5 years later, they were actually doing intravenous fentanyl.
Okay.
So they would go in and give the mom a shot of fentanyl through her IV drip,
mm-hmm.
and this would cause her to quote-unquote relax.
Right.
Okay, so...
And those two that you just mentioned, fentanyl and
Demerol,
are a type of narcotic, is that right?
They are, and fentanyl is now known to be very much a part of the opiates.
Okay.
And so we're hearing a lot about opiate addiction.
Right.
And the impact of opiates. So when you're saying the scripture says to be clear-minded, an opiate is going to make your mind dull.
Okay. Not clear.
Not clear. And an opiate is going to cause depression in a lot of your mental capacities, but even in your physical feelings. So one of the you know, I'm saying this because I was out of doing birthing for a little while, and then when I came back in, when the Lord led me back in to start the Dunamis Center, my first question was, what happened to fentanyl? Because I wasn't hearing about it as this intravenous narcotic to help the mom relax during labor.
Okay.
So I also started to notice they don't really do intravenous narcotics in labor. They're just jumping to the epidural for most moms who want a drug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the fentanyl is now in that epidural. So
it hasn't gone away at
all. It has not gone away at all. I thought it had, but it has not. They are now putting the fentanyl in the epidural. So now you're getting an opiate.
Right.
Which we now know is one of our biggest drug addiction issues in the United States, is people addicted to opiates.
Okay.
Of some form or another.
Right.
And they're injecting that directly into your spine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's less into the spinal fluid. An epidural is in that space between your skin covering there and your spinal cord. They go between the bones in your spine, and they put it in what's called the dura space, which
mm-hmm.
is where all this fluid is running. And then your spinal cord's in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Makes my stomach turn just thinking about it.
So the fentanyl is in that
okay.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what really got me, Catherine, was a cane drug was used in the epidurals even back in the 1990s. So a derivative or family of cocaine, lidocaine,
okay.
Bibuthicaine, some of those cane drugs were used in the 1980s, along with like morphine was the opiate they used to use all the time. But now it's more frequently, morphine can still be used, but it is more frequently a cane drug
right.
with fentanyl. So now you've got a cane with an opiate.
Okay.
That's what's going in your epidural.
Okay.
Okay. And that's what you're putting into your body.
All right.
So then when you read the scripture, which one is it? That you were 1 Peter 4:7,
mm-hmm.
that we're supposed to be clear-minded, but we just put a cane drug and an opiate into our system. Okay.
Yeah. When I was thinking about this as well, there was part of me that was saying, well, it's just going into the spinal fluid. It's just going to impact the lower half of the body, right?
Well, that's the idea. And they can do it at levels where the mom can walk around and it doesn't need to be as strong and it cuts the edge of things, right? Which is what opiates do. They cut the edge of pain.
Right.
To make it tolerable.
But it's also, thinking about it some more, when that goes into your system, whether it's supposed to only affect your lower half of your body or not, it's really circulating through your whole body, right?
Your body will absorb that.
All over.
Every nerve.
Yeah.
And those nerves also feed the uterus and the placenta.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's going to go through the placenta into the baby as well.
Right.
So you cannot say that anything that taking an epidural does not affect the baby. Anybody who tells you that is lying to you.
Flat out
lying.
Right.
It's just a flat out lie. It does go through the placenta into the baby.
Yeah.
So we have to be aware of that. And I had a pediatrician friend who used to tell me he could walk into a newborn nursery in a hospital and he could just look at the babies and point out which moms had had epidurals just by looking at the babies.
And how they were moving or not moving.
They were depressed. They were lethargic, where the other babies were vibrant and alert.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if I went and looked at the chart, I was almost 100% correct.
Wow.
Yeah. So it does impact the baby.
Yeah.
And it causes the same sort of depressions for the baby that it does for the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So it can also cause tingling of the mouth. I have people talk about dizziness, blurred vision, seizures. And then one of the postpartum issues that I hear a lot from moms is that they were drowsy a lot. Their breathing changed. They can't sleep at night because they feel like they're having apnea now that they didn't have before. They feel like they're stopping breathing when they're, which is one of the effects of fentanyl.
So you're saying it's not just a short-term labor and delivery. It's done. It's out of my system. It's not going to affect me ever again.
Right.
But you're not saying that.
No, I'm not saying that.
It's
a long-term process because it got into the mom's brain.
Right.
It's now changed her brain chemistry as well.
Whoa.
It's changed the baby's brain chemistry. And it's going to depend on how good your body is at filtering toxins.
Right.
Your
liver and your
kidneys.
So
now we're back to biblical wellness.
Right. Absolutely. I was reading something here, too, that says nearly 60% of moms get an epidural during birth.
Yeah.
Now, when we were preparing, you said that's down.
That's actually, it's actually probably higher than that.
Oh, okay.
But then we have to look at the fact that it's based on what facility you're in. Your hospital that you're in makes a big difference as to how much they push for epidurals.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor that you have or the care provider you have also has a large impact. So this is why things like questions to ask when you're interviewing care providers, which you can find on our website at dunamascenter.com. That's dunamascenter.com. If you click on the resources page, you're going to see that there's a whole questionnaire there.
Yeah.
And some of the questions for the obstetrical care providers are, what percentage of your moms come in wanting to have no epidural?
Mm-hmm.
And what percentage of those end up with an epidural, and what's your total percentage?
Yeah. It makes a difference.
Yeah. Because that helps you with whether or not this is a good option for you and how quickly or how much do they push for it later.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but I was thinking about that 60% and whether it's higher or lower. That's
a lot.
Yeah. That is 60% of moms that are having their brain chemistry changed. That's 60% of babies.
Right.
Or more, that are being exposed to, these opiates and what was the other thing?
Cane.
Thank you.
Like cocaine.
Yeah.
To be clear.
Opiates and the cane to trigger. You were saying that there is an increase in opiate drug addiction. And if it's all these babies that are being exposed to that, what is the chance of that that's affecting them later in life?
Exactly. And so what we want to do is look at, well, what is the issue with the fentanyl and the cocaine? And recently I saw a TV show that they did an expose on the fentanyl and cocaine drug dealing.
Mm.
Now, this is a street drug
that
drug dealers are selling, is cocaine cut with fentanyl.
Oh, my.
So it's making the cocaine go further. They're making more money on it. It's cheaper for the people to buy it, and they're getting a bigger kick at that point.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing that we want to talk about when we come back from our break is what is the outcome of that?
Right.
For the population.
Mm-hmm.
So, Catherine, why don't you just, before we go into that, take a minute and give people information on how to contact us.
Certainly. On Facebook, search Dunamis Center Ministries. Dunamis, again, is spelled D-U-N-A-M-A-S. On Twitter, go to @YourDunamisLife. You can search for us on Blog Talk Radio directly. Just put in, again, Your Dunamis Life. Our email to reach us is dunamislife@dunamiscenter.com. Dr. Pauline mentioned the website, which is simply dunamiscenter.com. And there's a lot of Dunamis centers.
In all of it.
You know, if you probably just Google Dunamis Center, a whole bunch of those would come up.
And I'm just going to mention, because I'm so excited, we just got our trademark on Dunamis. So, you know, it's ours now, and that's us.
Yay! That's exciting.
It is, because it was a lot of work, I'm just saying.
And one more point of contact where you can reach us is a good old telephone. That number is 719-231-7183.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Catherine, when we were talking about what's the impact of fentanyl and cocaine as a street drug, See, here's what just ends up boggling my mind. The drug dealers from South America and even through Mexico and up into the United States, they're cutting the cocaine with this fentanyl, and as a result, we're seeing higher levels of overdose reactions in these kids who are doing these street drugs.
Okay.
One of the biggest is heart stopping, and that is a side effect of fentanyl. If it gets into the vein, which is why it now boggles me they were doing intravenous fentanyl back in the 80s, but if it gets into the vein system, it can actually cause cardiac arrest.
Whoa.
So we're seeing a very high rate of these kids who are doing the cocaine-fentanyl mix having these cardiac arrests.
Yikes.
Okay, so the paramedics are being called out, and one paramedic on the show said that over 80% of their calls now are for this fentanyl cocaine overdose cardiac arrest.
Wow.
In these kids. So, this company called Insys is the one that makes fentanyl.
Okay.
Well, Insys also came up with a remedy.
Okay.
So the antidote for this fentanyl cardiac arrest, the same company that makes fentanyl makes the antidote. And then sells it to your emergency crews to have on their paramedic truck. So when they encounter a kid who's having a cardiac arrest from this fentanyl cocaine mix, the paramedics have the antidote on the truck. So they make the fentanyl that causes the problem, and then they make the antidote to treat the problem.
All right, that seems circular.
And this is the company that's making your fentanyl for your epidurals.
Whoa.
Okay, so you're getting a fentanyl cardiac reaction. This is where we see heart rates dropping. You know, you see the baby's heart rates dropped off and after an epidural, and that's one of the causes or outcomes of fentanyl.
Yeah.
The mom's heart rates have dropped. I've seen moms have to be turned to the other side to try to get better circulation and get it to the baby and, you know, different things like that.
Yikes, that is huge.
This is not benign.
Right. That is scary to think about something that's being used on the street as... I'm at a loss for words.
Yes. It's a street drug, and it's what's going in your epidural.
To be used during labor.
Yes.
For you and your precious little baby that's not even born yet being
exposed to it.
Oh, man, that's
so
crazy.
You know, and this is where we kind of get in trouble a lot with birth people, because there's this attitude going around that I hear a lot of, well, we shouldn't make moms feel guilty for anything. Well, I'm sorry. If you're just saying, I'm just going to go have an epidural, you are saying, I am going to give my baby this fentanyl cocaine mix and then hope he does okay with it.
Because I care more about me and what's going on with me.
And how difficult labor is.
Than what is going to be the impact of my baby.
I don't want to feel any pain. Well, I'm sorry, I don't see anywhere in the New Testament that Jesus said we're not going to feel pain.
In fact, he said the opposite.
Yeah. And so in John 16, he specifically said the opposite, didn't he?
Right, yeah, verse 21. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world.
Now, I've talked before about this scripture, and, you know, I'm not doing a whole show on the endocrine system of labor right now today, but I have done one, and I maybe need to do it again. But the thing about that is, one of the things that happens at the very end of labor, if you've not introduced this fentanyl
during
cocaine
a natural
drug,
birth, right?
During a natural birth, is an influx of a huge rush of adrenaline. Now, most of the time, people think that makes them nervous, but in this case, it's designed to give this mother this surge of energy at the end of the birth. And then that is how God fulfills this scripture, is that suddenly we have all this energy and this joy, and it's because we've got this rush of this adrenaline that allows us to suddenly perk up after we've been having this long, hard, or even short, but difficult labor.
Well, and there's something, is there something physiological, too, about adrenaline blocking the pain?
Right,
receptors?
Which leads us to the next part of what Jesus said there about pain, and it helps to block our memory. It interferes with consolidation of the memory of the pain,
mm-hmm.
but in the right way, in the God-designed way. You see, when we say God cares about the hairs on our head, He cares about every tiny little aspect of your body, your baby's body, how they work together.
Yeah.
So then a lot of women will say, but what if I just can't handle it? And Jesus gives us a promise that goes right along with this, also in John 16, doesn't He?
Yeah, he says He's overcome the world.
He says we're going to have trouble too, doesn't He?
Right.
We're going to have trouble. We're going to, and trouble there, which is verse 33, and pain in 21, is the same root word, deep suffering. But then Jesus says what? I have overcome it.
Right? Yeah, you're right. It is verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, like
yeah.
you said, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Right, and He used childbirth as the example of how you will feel pain, but then there's joy after.
Yeah.
You know, so even when we're birthing spiritually, we have pain,
mm-hmm.
but there's joy after, isn't there?
Right.
You know, we go through difficult things in this world all the time, and this just happens to be, you know, I'm not discounting the beauty and miracle of labor and birthing and God and all that, but really, in the end, at the end of the day, it is just a natural circumstance. Okay? Giving birth is a natural circumstance.
Right. God put it together. God made women. He made the babies to be born from the women, and He put it all in motion
right.
to work.
And He made our bodies to go through an incredible amount of work,
mm-hmm.
which is also toil for the man, you know, but it's also toil for us. And toil is not something we should be scared of. It's just hard work.
I think in our culture we are a little scared.
Scared of hard work, I
yeah,
know. We want everybody to give it to us, don't
the,
we?
The work might be a new four-letter word.
Yeah. And toil
yeah.
be the counterpart of that four-letter word. But it really is that. It is one of the hardest things that we as women do. But it's also one of the most joyful if we allow the Lord to enter into that. And that's
mm-hmm.
where that clear-minded prayer from 1 Peter comes into play as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my point of all this, and then we'll talk more about some of the other side effects, is how am I approaching my thinking about this? Does it mean that if I'm approaching it from a Christ-centered point of view that no one will ever have to have an epidural? That's not what we're saying.
No.
But we know there's this 5% or less of women that actually a mom or a baby would die without surgery, and then, yes, we would want you to have the epidural or whatever to help you with that. But then again, if you're having an epidural, your cesarean is probably not an emergency. Because anything done that's not done under general anesthesia really isn't an emergency.
Yeah, I don't think that's really the common thought.
I know.
I think you're saying something new.
I know, and people are like, I don't want to be afraid of running into an emergency situation. Well, why
yeah.
not? Because whatever they're trying to tell you to do an epidural for right at this moment might resolve itself.
If you give it
time, and in 95% of the cases, it will.
Yeah.
Okay. But in addition, there are other actual side effects in the physical, because we have talked about the heart, the cardiac stuff, and we've talked about the spiritual and the connection, but there's other things that can happen too, aren't there?
Oh, certainly. I was reading an article, and it also used the word cascade of interventions, because
yes.
once you start intervening, it's very hard to stop because like you were talking about, that epidural with all those drugs in there causes a physiological change.
Right.
Not only to the mind, but to the laboring process.
Mm-hmm. You know, it also impacts, you know, sometimes if the mom's on the epidural for a long period of time and the more that you put in there, the more we see these effects. And one of them can actually be a paralysis. The intercostal muscles are so impacted by that. And I recently read a blog post from a woman up actually here in, I forgot the name of the ski resort.
In the mountains?
Yeah. Anyway, she's up from up here in the Rocky Mountains, and she wrote a blog post about how she didn't think anything of her epidural, and then she's having most of these side effects.
Mm.
You know, she was having some temporary paralysis, weakness in her legs, falling down.
Is this during labor or after labor?
After. Her baby's like, I don't know, over 6 months old, and she's still having symptoms. Mm. And all the doctors are saying is, well, it takes time for nerves to heal, and your nerve probably got nicked during the epidural being put in.
Well, that's not good either.
and she's like, I didn't think there would be any real big problem with it. Nobody told me any of this could happen.
Oh.
So this was just somebody talking about their own outcome. And yes, some of these outcomes are small amounts, but if it happens to you, it's 100% for you.
You know, Dr. Pauline, this makes me just really want to point out to the listeners that it is important to find out, to ask questions, to seek what is mm-hmm. going on. You know, mm-hmm. what, you know, first of all, why do you want to give this to me? But second of all, what are the impacts? What are the side effects?
Yes.
Tell me.
Yeah.
And if
absolutely.
They're not willing to tell you, then I'm not sure that that's someone you want to go with, or
right.
I'm not sure that's a procedure you want to do, but you need right. to do your due diligence in seeking the information about whether this and what the impacts
yeah.
are going to be.
Absolutely. And I just, people don't realize it lengthens labor.
Mm-hmm.
So you're wanting to get out of it, but then they have to kind of let the epidural down some for you to feel you're pushing. And so even if you say we're going to have on the longer side of pushing, like a 3-hour pushing, epidurals can lengthen that to 5 to 6 hours,
mm-hmm.
which I'm just going to tell you the majority of care providers aren't going to let happen. So now you're into the cesarean
risk of
section because your pushing is going to take too long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not here to judge you. We're just here to say, have you really sought the Lord on your abilities? Because too many people say, I can't do it, I'm just weak, or I just feel pain really badly. I'm going to tell you something. There was a study done, and they measured pain receptors, and no woman went over a certain number. There was a cap on how much your body actually interprets pain. So it's how do you feel it, how do you think about it, and, you know, what do you do with it?
And if there's a concern there, take it to the Lord.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes. Beforehand.
Promptly.
In labor, that
yeah.
type of thing. The main concern is, you know, you end up with that cesarean. And you may end up with a longer labor, which then it means you end up with that cesarean. And then you can have instrumental birth. Now, we don't see doctors doing forceps as much as they used to.
Right.
And so there's less of that. They just jump to the cesarean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
why bother?
Just yeah.
do it.
A lot of people who would have had a forceps delivery just had a cesarean in the last 10 years.
Yeah. Pauline, that reminds me of another scripture in Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man,
yeah.
but in the end it leads to death. And I'm sure when this was written, it was probably more of a spiritual implication.
Right.
But I think there's a very real physical application of this as well.
Right.
We may think, like
right.
that woman you were talking to, oh, there's not going to be any big deal with me getting an epidural.
Well, and so, Catherine, I think what we've covered that has been the critical for us on our show is the spiritual impact as well as relationship, because anybody can do a Google search on epidurals and their side effects. And when they do that, they're going to find all the same information we can find as far as physical impact and outcomes and things like that. But nobody's writing blogs and putting them out there on all this, you know, Dunamos living and how it impacts that.
Definitely.
Before we go, I just want to mention, since we were talking about how this can cascade into cesareans, that my new book, Won't Somebody Please Hear Me, has come out, and it's about healing from a traumatic cesarean experience or really any traumatic birth experience.
Yeah.
And that is available on the website, dudamosscenter.com. It's $11.95, and it's very easy to order there, and we would be happy to get it out to you as quickly as possible.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I'm Dr. Pauline.